This is Asked and Answered.
Questions.
With Tom Opferman and Steelers Digest editor Bob Labriola.
When you tune into Steelers games on DVE this year, it's not going to sound quite the same as it labs with the voice of Bill Hillgrove retiring from calling Steelers games on the radio side. Important to note, though, that he is not completely retired. He will still call Pitt football and Pitt basketball on the radio side of things. But a true legend, been doing this since 1994 for the Steelers, and now he has bid his farewell to the black and gold.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Hillgrove is one of the great play-by-play guys, certainly in Pittsburgh sports history. And, you know, what a decent human being he is. Yes. Bill Hillgrove has always been generous with his time. If, you know, kind of pays it forward in a lot of different ways, and not only with other people who are in the broadcast industry, but, you know, he will tell stories or, you know, educate or, you know, writers, other radio people, anyone who's interested. You know, who cares enough to take the time to sit down and try and talk to him. He will be generous with his time. He's entertaining. He's fun to be around. Nobody works harder, you know, than Bill Hillgrove. I mean, it was funny.
Oh my gosh.
I was assigned, you know, to write the Bill Hillgrove retirement announcement story for Steelers.com. So I call him on his cell phone on a Tuesday morning at 10:30. He answers the phone. He's in a hotel in Clemson, South Carolina for that night's Pitt game.
Yes.
Okay. And so he said, you know, I'm having breakfast. So I call him back at 11 o'clock. He's up in his hotel room. I said, how's Clemson, South Carolina doing? He goes, you know, Hillgrove always had that sense of humor. He says, yeah, Clemson, South Carolina, where the best restaurant in town is a Bojangles. but, yeah, even when he's talking about taking a step back, he's still in a hotel room in South Carolina. Yeah, he's working, exactly. So I can't say enough good things about Bill Hillgrove. I am honored to call him a friend. I've known him for a long time. All the best to him and his family on his retirement. Let me just throw this out, one last thing about him. Steelers.com, I thought, did a really nice thing. I wrote a story, and then the Steelers also produced a video interview. And the guy who did the video was Jack Hillgrove, who was Bill Hillgrove's grandson. Jack Hillgrove works at WTOV TV9 in Steubenville. And, you know, that's still on the website. You know, I would encourage anyone who hasn't seen it to take 12 minutes out of your day. I think that's how long it is. And as Jack calls Bill Pap, it was, you know, it's a very, yeah. It was a little touching, you know, it got a little dusty in my house when I was watching it. It's touching. It's happy. And I'm happy for him.
Yeah, he announced his retirement last Thursday, and then to celebrate on Friday, he jumped on a plane to Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts to call the Pitt-Boston college basketball game. I mean, he truly is one of a kind, and I mean that in the best way possible.
Yes, and, you know, his in the story I wrote, he detailed a couple of weeks of his, you know, his work week back in the day. I mean, you know, he's talking about, this is when he was doing the news, WTATV News. They do 6 and 11 news. And then in between, he was filling in for Cope on Myron Cope talk show on WTA radio, because WTA radio and TV are all in the same building. So, and then he was doing Cope's commentaries. He was doing the overnight, and, you know, in the booth. I mean, just ridiculous. Pitt. I can't even imagine remembering, let alone doing all of that,
that you had
but remembering
to be there,
where you're supposed to be. Yeah, like it's Tuesday. Where, you know, am I doing Cope show today? What time? You know, just unbelievable. So, like I said, kudos to him for being the workhorse that he was all those years. And as I said, good luck to him. I hope he enjoys his retirement. He has earned it.
Yeah, no question about it. And again, you'll still get to hear his voice around the college athletics in town with Pitt. So that's exciting. One last thing we wanted to touch on, though, before we get into the questions, a bit of sad news, the passing of Andy Russell. Steelers great on those 70 teams, won two Super Bowls, but he goes beyond those 70s teams, Labs. He was one of the original Steelers before Chuck Knoll got in that carried over into that franchise, into that dynasty.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Russell, he's you can call him one of five. There was a famous team meeting that Chuck Knoll had in 1969, when he first got hired, and he told the team, and I'm paraphrasing, the goal here is to win the Super Bowl, but most of you guys aren't going to be good enough to be here when we do. Well, there were five guys in that room who were good enough. Andy Russell, Rocky Blyer, Ray Mansfield, Sam Davis, and Bobby Walden. And, you know, Andy Russell not only was the best player of those five, but, you know, he was the team captain throughout the 1970s. And everything Andy Russell did was very captain-like. He was a leader. He was an example. And then even when his, you know, he was the guy who took it upon himself, Super Bowl IX, after the game, to get the game ball and present it to Art Rooney Sr. I mean, that's the kind of presence, mental presence, that this guy has for things other than it's third and four, what's the offense going to be doing next? I mean, he had a sense of history, of doing the right thing, you know, at the right time. Then after his playing career was over, he raised millions of dollars for any number of nonprofits and charitable groups. You know, Andy Russell, I don't think he's ever going to make the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and that's a damn shame.
It is a shame.
But he is and should always be remembered as one of the most significant men in Steelers franchise history.
Yeah, no doubt. Steelers Nation gives him his due if the National Football League does not by getting him into Canton. RIP to Andy Russell. Let's get into this week's batch of questions. We start with a Mason Rudolph question, so we check that quarterback box right away. Colin John from Venice, Florida wants to know, it seems like everyone is on the Mason Rudolph bandwagon, and I agree that he did a great job in relief at the end of the season. I hope we also don't forget, though, that in 2019, he was benched for an undrafted quarterback named Devlin Hodges. What were Mason's stats in 2019?
Stats, Mason Rudolph, 2019. He appeared in 10 regular season games, and of course that was after Ben Roethlisberger injured his throwing elbow. There were 8 starts in those 10 regular season appearances for Mason Rudolph. The Steelers were 5-3 in his 8 starts. He completed 176 of 183 passes, 62.2%. No, that's not right. He completed 62.2% of his passes, but 176 of 183 would be a lot higher percentage yeah. than that. I copied that down wrong. For 1,675 yards, 13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and a rating of 82.0. He was sacked 15 times, rushed 21 times for 42 yards. And that was also the year he got clocked in the head by yep. Myles Garrett.
And I will say this to Colin's point. Yeah, he got benched in 2019 for Devlin Hodges. Players are allowed to get better, though. You know, they're allowed to improve upon their game. And by the way, it was 176 for 283. So you just missed the by 100
yeah.
there.
Thanks.
Oh, of course. That's why I'm here.
Just missed by
100.
Just missed by 100.
Jason Praster from San Antonio, Texas. Which rookie from the Steelers 2023 draft class would you say made the biggest impact on the team? And which player from the 2023 draft class do you think will take the biggest step forward in his sophomore season?
I'm going to go with Broderick Jones as the most impactful because once he took over at right tackle, the offense in general, the running game in particular, became more physical. And then that in turn became the team's identity during the stretch of the season where they made a run for the playoffs and ultimately got into the playoffs. And as for the biggest step forwards prediction, I'm going to go with Joey Porter Jr. There's nothing that I can cite, no statistic that, you know, I can say this tells you why I picked him. So it's more just a guess. But I like a lot of what Joey Porter Jr. showed as a rookie. And that should give him a lot of confidence moving forward. Confidence is a huge factor to play cornerback in the NFL. And the other thing I really liked about Joey Porter Jr. was he was the one, you know, towards that stretch run, he would find Mike Tomlin earlier in the week. You know, oftentimes it was Monday because the game plans were put in on Tuesday, you know, for working on the normal Sunday game schedule week. And he would ask for, you know, who's their best receiver, that's who I want to cover. And so, you know, having a guy with that attitude, you know, wanting that challenge every week instead of maybe, you know, looking for the safer way to get through your rookie season, indicates to me that this guy really wants to be great. And I think he will he has the work ethic and will continue to develop that work ethic to become great.
Thomas Fuddins from Middle Island, New York. What input, if any, does a team have in determining dates and times of their home games and deciding their bye week?
Okay. Teams are allowed to make requests to the NFL regarding their schedules. And, you know, it's important to understand the request is nothing more than that. You know, I would think that, you know, a lot of teenagers have a higher percentage of getting the requests granted by their parents, like, can I have the car? You know, can I spend the night at Tom Offerman's house? I promise we're not going to be playing cards all night. You know, than NFL teams do, or teams do, of getting the NFL to grant their schedule requests. But, you know, there are instances when teams get what they ask for. Just to give a recent example, you know, the Steelers going into the 2020 season, that was going to be, you know, the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception, and they had a home game against the Raiders on the schedule. Now, so in terms of the date of that game, they made a request to the NFL that it be as close to December 23rd as possible because that was the actual date of the Immaculate Reception in 1972. And as it turned out, you know, the NFL recognized a good marketing situation, a good TV opportunity. And as they always do, Saturday, December 24th with Steelers Ravens in 2022. Other examples of the NFL granting these requests, you know, the Florida Georgia college football game is always played in Jacksonville. And so the Jaguars are always scheduled on the road around that game. So that's another one. There are other times when teams from the East that might be scheduled for a couple of road trips to the West Coast will ask for them to be back-to-back, you know, trying to cut down on the travel burden. So there are things beyond, you know, the Immaculate Reception anniversary, the world's largest cocktail party, which you're not allowed to call it anymore because
it's such a shame.
Inappropriate.
Such a shame.
Yeah. And that's on my bucket list too. But anyway, so there are requests that teams make. A lot of times, I'm not going to say this is for sure, but there was a time when the Steelers-Ravens series always seemed to have the Steelers playing in Baltimore earlier in the season and the Ravens playing in Pittsburgh late. And I think the Ravens said, hey, you know, how about switching it up so we're not always going to Pittsburgh late in the year? You know, make them come to us every now and then, which is not an outrageous request, by the way. But, yeah, those kinds of things are also in the mix for requests teams can make. And then the bye week is when the bye week is. I don't think you get I want my bye week here. You know, there are too many other things that go into that.
Sam McCall from Bethesda, Maryland. Which team had the greatest run of all time? Many say determining that is an exercise in futility, but I submit the Steelers of the 1970s. My argument is simple. There are 10 players from those teams who are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Does any other team even come close?
Okay, just to recap, the Steelers of the 70s. 4 Super Bowl championships over 6 seasons. 10 players in Canton. I'll just run them back through for you real quick. Joe Green, Jack Ham, Mel Blunt, Terry Bradshaw, Franco, Jack Lambert, Mike Webster, Lynn Swan, John Stallworth, and Donnie Shell, plus Coach Chuck Knoll. All of those players that I mentioned, plus Knoll, all won 4 Super Bowl rings apiece. Okay, that's, you know, a pretty good argument. During the 1960s, though, and again, it's tough comparing NFL teams from different eras. The Packers won 3 NFL championships before the Super Bowl was invented. And then after those 3, they won the first 2 Super Bowls. So that's 5 championships during the 60s. The Packers have 12 players in the Hall of Fame, plus coach Vince Lombardi. Now, to be fair, the Packers Hall of Fame players didn't all win all of those championships. Some of these guys were only around for 1 or 2 right. of those, either at the beginning of the run or at the end. So I'll just run through those players real quick. Jim Taylor, Forrest Gregg, Bart Starr, Ray Nitschke, Herb Adderley, Willie Davis, Jim Ringo, Paul Hornung, Willie Wood, Henry Jordan, Dave Robinson, and Jerry Kramer. So, as I said, it's really difficult to compare, in my opinion, teams from one era to the next. So the way I look at it is the Steelers were the team of the 70s, the Packers were the team of the 60s, and as for the 1940s, I'd offer the Chicago Bears as the team of that decade.
And so far, it looks like Jake from State Farm is the team of the 2020s. Very exciting. Chris Ferris from Carmichael, California. Am I crazy?
Or Taylor Swift.
It actually is Taylor Swift. Am I crazy to think that this Kenny Pickett hate and Mason Rudolph love is just ridiculous? If they solidify the offensive tackles and the running back tandem stays as solid as they finished, why can't Pickett be a solid, if not spectacular, player?
I'll tell you what is crazy to me is we have to decide this now. Whether the hate for Kenny Pickett and the Mason Rudolph love, and I'm using Chris's terms here. I don't necessarily believe, that there is hate and love, but it's so early in this process. And nowadays, you know how the young people are, they're just, everything has to be decided right now. I mean, right now, the new league year doesn't open until next week. We're 6 weeks before the start of phase 1 of the offseason, 7 weeks before the draft, okay? So, the scenario of solidify the offensive tackles, running back, that could be 100% correct, or it could be 100% wrong. And the only thing I know for a fact is all of the people who believe one thing or the other, they love Pickett or they hate Pickett, they love Mason or they hate Mason, you're not going to convince them that the other side is right. There's nothing that I can say on this podcast that is going to change the opinion of someone who already has an opinion on this issue. So, let's just let it unfold and see what it is. And, isn't that part of the fun of sports? Or am I just too old?
No, you're supposed to call your shot beforehand and look right, and then if you're wrong, you just ignore it and move on really fast. That's the fun of sports.
Or the Billy Joel lyric from "She's Always a Woman." Just change your mind.
100%. Yeah, it's very easy. And again, it's all about crowning the next person before you get to watch them go on the journey that allows them to be crowned. That's the way it works in sports these days. So,
thanks for educating me.
Of course,
seriously,
of course,
I needed this.
Our final question today comes from Glacio Cafalcio from Tabate, Sao Paulo, Brazil. As it has been said by the media, if Russell Wilson is really inclined to accept a very reasonable salary to be a starter on an NFL team, do you think the Steelers would consider to bring him to Pittsburgh? This news just got even more momentum labs with the Broncos releasing him yesterday or announcing they will on March 13th.
And that's why this, we have all these famous dates on the NFL offseason calendar. I think that nowadays, the week before the opening of the league year needs to be known as Russell Wilson week. because as you mentioned, Monday, March 4th, the Broncos informed him that they're going to release him after the start of the new league year. Okay. Now, give me here a minute to make fun of the Broncos.
Okay? Oh, please.
because you know this was the free agent signing that was gonna, you know, propel them to multiple Super Bowls when it happened. So here we are back with the Billy Joel line. You know, it's not right, so just change your mind. As a result of cutting Russell Wilson, Denver is going to have to eat $39 million in guaranteed money.
Oof.
Okay? Not only are they going to pay that money, but it also counts on their cap. Now, by doing this, the reason they're doing it is they avoid an additional trigger date in his contract that would have subsequently guaranteed another $37 million for the 2025 season. Okay? But over, still, with all of that, there's saving, quote-unquote, $37 million in guaranteed money for 2025, they're going to have to take on $85 million in dead salary cap money over the next 2 years by cutting Russell Wilson, which, hey, the largest dead cap hit in NFL history. So who knows? Maybe the Broncos somewhere in their facility, they can make a little plaque up and hang that up. And, you know. Okay, now to the question. I don't believe the Steelers are going to bring in Russell Wilson and present him with a starting quarterback job, even at a very reasonable salary. And I also don't believe Russell Wilson would come here without that. I think where Russell Wilson goes, he's going to want to be the starter. And I just don't, you know, and not compete for the starting job. He wants to be the starter. So I don't think that's going to happen in Pittsburgh. Maybe it happens for him somewhere else.
No, I 100% agree with you on that take on Russell Wilson, but that's not going to stop everybody from talking about Russell Wilson going to the Steelers over this next week. Get up, First Take, Stephen A., Skip Bayless, everybody's going to talk about it.
Schefter.
Schefter's going to link it, of course. Love sports.
I mean.
All right, that'll do it for us today on Asked and Answered. As always, we appreciate you guys getting your questions in. Get your questions in now, and maybe they'll be heard on a future episode. For Bob Labriola, I'm Tom Opferman, and we'll talk to you guys next week.